7 o'clock here. Here, let's do a quick click of the wrist and.
Is it rolling? Hang on a second.
We're rolling. Go ahead, there, Rubble.
Okay, we're on the air here. You pronounce your name Leachy?
Yeah.
Okay, and you're with the International Socialist Organization?
That's right.
Okay, this is Rad Radio, DJ Rubble, and we've got an interview with Leachy of the International Socialist Organization. There's been clinic defense the past couple of weeks fighting off a group called Crusade for Life that's in the Bay Area between July 15th to 27th, an anti-abortion group, so-called pro-life group, which is looking to stop abortion altogether, and they've been protesting abortion clinics,
right,
including Planned Parenthood, the last two Saturdays in San Francisco. And so San Francisco's a pro-choice town, so pro-abortion people were out there to meet them. Leachy, why don't you frame the issues for us? What is Crusade for Life coming into San Francisco to do, and why are the groups that have been out there meeting them with resistance?
Okay. Well, firstly, Crusade for Life is part of a right-wing group called the American Life League, and you can look them up, www.all.org. And they, like you said, are opposed to abortions under all circumstances, whether it's, you know, whether a woman has been raped, whether it's a case of incest, if her health or her life is in danger. They do not care about that. They actually put the value of the unborn above the value of a living, breathing woman. And they're also opposed to birth control, as well as any sort of sex education in any kind of school. So, I mean, I think it's pretty safe to say, it's absolutely no exaggeration to say that they really want to take us back to the dark ages. And they have actually toured, you know, they do these tours of the country where they go around and they basically try to spread their message and basically try to influence people who have not yet heard, you know, a strong argument for why it is so important that women have what I think is a fundamental human right to determine what she does with her own body. And unfortunately, a lot of women haven't heard that strong argument. A lot of people haven't heard that argument because I think of the concessions of a lot of the mainstream pro-choice organizations, really since abortion was won, but very much so in the 1990s. Where you saw a lot of concessions to the right wing, not wanting to use the word abortion, you know, conceding that there's actually something bad about it in the first place. And that's something that we feel that we really have to fight off. And particularly here in San Francisco, you can see the effects that it's had, because actually this is the third time this year alone that the right wing has come to, you know, try to demonstrate or to try to, you know, spread their, you know, what I would call bigotry. They actually had a march in January of, I think, about 1,000, maybe even 2,000 people that started downtown.
That was womendeservebetter.org, right?
What's that?
That was womendeservebetter.org.
That was under this whole Women Deserve Better Than Abortions. Because, yeah, and obviously, like, thousands more people that are, you know, pro-abortion rights came to encounter them, and we lined up the streets and we, you know, chanted them down as best we could, you know, saying what we always say is that the name pro-life is a lie, because they don't care that actually living, breathing women die when abortions are illegal. So, yeah, I mean, I think what's happening is due to the retreat from the streets, and an electoral strategy, sort of counting on, you know, pro-choice, so-called pro-choice Democrats to stand up and fight for us, has really led to a deterioration of a woman's movement in this country. In fact, there's really not much of a woman's movement right now to speak of. And so what we are trying to do is to rebuild that movement. And that's why I think it was so critical that on these last two Saturdays that we confronted them. And I think we gave confidence to lots of people, you know, that we should actually stand up to these people and let them know where we actually stand and that they're not welcome in our town. And in fact, a lot of people from the neighborhood came by and were just so thankful because they see those people. They actually have a regular set of bigots that come to that Planned Parenthood all the time. And they knew that this Catholic organization was in town supporting these bigots. And so a lot of the neighborhood people were just like, thank you so much for coming out here, because I see these people all the time and I sort of have to yell at them myself. But it's great to finally see, you know, somebody standing up to them.
Right. Leechy. Let's put the tactics. I want to get to the tactics and the veracity of the dispute there at the clinics later on, but mostly in the media, you really just get the horse race. You don't get the details. Before we go back to these really bizarre and complex pro-life agendas that are coming in here, why don't you talk about what a reproductive rights agenda, a really leftist agenda, not a centrist agenda that the Democratic Party is going for, but what are all the issues as far as women's right to choose, the legislative issues that are there for reproductive freedom, et cetera, what are pro-abortion people fighting for?
Well, I mean, I think ultimately what we're fighting for is free abortion on demand. I mean, that would be, like, I think, what we want. Like, we actually think that this is that abortion is a healthcare right of a woman, and that it shouldn't, and that her economic situation should have no barrier on whether or not she is able to have an abortion. Again, because we understand that whether or not abortion is illegal, that if a woman has a lot of money, that she'd be able to obtain an abortion. It's actually the poor and working class women that are most affected by legislation against all kinds of abortions, like these so-called partial birth abortions, which are late-term abortions. The term partial birth is actually not even a medical term. That's totally a completely made-up phrase by the right wing. And actually, because there's first, second, and third trimester abortions. And oftentimes, late-term abortions are needed because a woman's health or life is at risk. Oftentimes, a woman actually does want to go through with a pregnancy, but is not able to for whatever complications she's having, and so therefore she needs to have an abortion. And unfortunately, Bill Clinton allowed the passing of laws that actually forbid any kind of abortions in the late term, and that actually was a further sort of chipping away of abortion rights, which has been the strategy of the right wing ever since we won abortions in the first place in 1973. The first one actually started with the Hyde Amendment, which cut all federal funding for poor women. And that was actually done under Carter, under the Carter administration. Ever since then, you saw things like parental notification laws and parental consent laws, which say that young women seeking abortions have to get, you know, their parents' permission to do so. And these things are completely deadly. In fact, in 1988, it actually led to the death of a young woman named Becky Bell. She was 17 years old, and she died of a botched illegal abortion because, like thousands of others like her, she couldn't bring herself to tell her parents that she was pregnant. And there's actually an initiative that's on the ballot, that's going to be on the ballot this November in California, that's a parental notification initiative. And I believe that it will lead to a lot more Becky Bell cases, and I think that that is something that we absolutely have to stop. It's called Prop 73, and people should definitely go out and make sure that that does not pass. Unfortunately, I think it has a good chance, it stands a good chance of passing, again, because of the sort of more mainstream organizations that are really sort of taking a defensive strategy towards this initiative and not talking about the fact that it is chipping away at abortion rights and that it does lead to the deaths of thousands of young women. They don't want to talk about it in this way because they say it doesn't resonate with people. But we are actually saying that we have to talk about it in this way because it is the truth, and this is fundamentally about self-determination for women at any age. A woman has to decide for herself what she does with her own body.
Okay, how much availability is there of abortion as far as how many counties in the U.S.
Well,
have abortion, how much California
has? The latest statistic is that 87% of U.S. counties do not have access to safe abortions, to safe legal abortions.
I think in California it's maybe like 30% of the counties or some minority also, even though this is a pro-choice state.
Incredibly and frighteningly small, again, due to all these concessions and chipping away.
So what you're talking about with that parental notification law is you're talking about a lot of different strategies where it's not illegal, but it's just not being available, because I did come from a Bible Belt myself, a Catholic Bible Belt. And yeah, if girls were pregnant, a lot of them would be afraid of abuse on the hands of their father if they found out they were pregnant.
Exactly.
So I think what happens is every family is not like the myth of upper-class middle America where you go and, you know, get some, you know, get a lot of guidance from your parents.
Absolutely.
On these things. And a lot of people don't even have parents or functional families either.
Right.
So that's one of the things. So really the right wing's doing good at chipping away with people's ability to get abortions.
Right. That's been their strategy.
Yeah.
Working.
Yeah. Is there also a Bush administration nomination that's being fought?
Not by any real strong, visible organization, no. Certainly not the Democratic Party, who unfortunately has the most pull right now. No, they. I said yesterday at the press conference, like Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer, who are the senators of San Francisco and who are supposedly pro-choice, have already come out and made it quite clear that they're not going to lead a filibuster against John G. Roberts, Bush's nomination to the Supreme Court. And this is just totally disgusting and alarming. I mean, this is a man who actually spent a good portion of his legal career trying to overturn Roe v. Wade. He actually said Roe v. Wade was a mistake and that it had to be overturned. There's actually a quotation of him saying that in a briefing in 1990. And not only that, even more frightening than that is that he was actually an avid supporter of Operation Rescue, which was basically a homegrown terrorist organization that was famous for its physical intimidation and harassment of women trying to enter clinics. They also were bombing abortion clinics, pipe bombs and whatnot, killing and maiming nurses and doctors who worked at abortion clinics. He actually defended their right to come to abortion clinics and terrorize people. So, I mean, the fact that the Democratic Party is not leading a filibuster against him, I think really shows sort of where we're at and where the women's movement, this electoral strategy has led the women's movement. So we're trying to say that, okay, if these people aren't going to lead a filibuster, these so-called people that we're supposed to rely on to fight for us, which, you know, I don't think has ever been true, that we have to take this back into the streets and that we have to say that that if they're not going to lead a filibuster, then we're going to lead a filibuster. And that's why actually a coalition that I am a part of, and I know that Radical Women is a part of as well, it's called the Abortion Rights and Reproductive Justice Network. We're going to have a meeting on August 14th at the Women's Building in San Francisco at 3 p.m., and we want to begin planning and strategizing for an abortion rights march in which we want to say no to this John Roberts nomination and no to Prop 73 and yes to beginning to rebuild a fighting women's movement in this country, because we know that it's only mass action that can actually change the course of history. It has in the past. That's how we won abortion rights in the first place. That's how we fought Operation Rescue in the first place. And we have to look at those lessons of history, and we don't ignore them. We have to learn from them, and we have to look at that strategy, and we have to do that again. And it's not going to be easy. But that is actually what has to be done if we are actually going to hold on to what is left of abortion rights right now.
Okay, let's get to the right wing. Then we're going to get to the mainstream, Planned Parenthood. Mm-hmm. I talked to a couple of these pro-life people yesterday and listened to their press conference. I'm also on the American Life League website.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, they are against all sex except for to make babies,
right,
with a husband and a wife. They are that extreme, and they don't make any bones about it. It fits the Catholic agenda pretty close. Their mm-hmm. signs said you can't be Catholic and pro-abortion, which is true. Now, they're very much against if a woman's raped, the child still deserves life. If the woman's ill or disabled in a way where the pregnancy is dangerous, mm-hmm. the child still deserves life.
Right, right. Who cares about the woman? Yeah.
They don't want sex education because I guess it's kind of commodifying sex, that it's going beyond that to have babies as opposed to whatever else other people have sex for.
Right. So actual sexual desires, yeah.
Very, very strongly mm-hmm. about those things. They also target Planned Parenthood.
Yep, they certainly
on
do.
Here. They have a campaign against them.
Mm-hmm.
And why are they opposing them? Because Planned Parenthood supports ideas, philosophies, and actions completely opposed to the Ten Commandments. If people lived by the Ten Commandments, Planned Parenthood could not exist.
Right,
Planned
exactly.
Parenthood is rejecting Christian values,
mm-hmm.
And on and on. So they're after them. So this was a fairly polite group as far
right.
as they go. It was young college women, and they were concentrating more on their rosaries
right.
rather than groups in the past I've been around that go and, get in women's face and,
right.
Guilt trip them and make them scared and everything, like those old people across the street. They were fairly sedate, and they just couldn't understand why the local people were in their face so hard. Why is it so crucial? I guess you've already answered that question,
right.
But in other words, what are we getting with this agenda? What I talked to one person, I also said that people around here are against a larger agenda because they're anti-abortion, they're pro-Bush.
Right.
So I'm sure they're voting for war. They're also,
absolutely. Absolutely.
They claim to be for women's health care, but they're really not. In other words, why is this whole agenda so detrimental that they were just shocked that people were in their faces and not really having a polite dialogue with them or clearing the street and letting them read their rosaries? What's going on around here? They just can't understand.
Right. Well, I mean, I think it's important to say, I actually don't agree with their slogan, you can't be Catholic and pro-abortion. I mean, I don't think it's really for them to dictate how people interpret their religions. I think there's a number of different religions, and not everybody who, describes themselves as, Catholic or whatever other religion necessarily abides by this, anti-abortion line. And I think that that's fine. And I think that we want to be inclusive. You know, I'm for freedom of religion. I myself am not religious. I'm an atheist. But I think that we want to have a movement that is inclusive of people who are religious and consider themselves, you know, pro women's rights. And I also think it's important to say that that the right wing has had to change their strategy, obviously, because Operation Rescue, while they were doing all of these things, alienated a lot of people that considered themselves pro-life. I mean, here they were calling themselves a pro-life group, and they were, like, murdering doctors in their own homes. One in particular was a man named Bernard Slepian, who was actually in his home, in his kitchen, with his wife, when a crazed anti-abortionist shot him, right? And so that actually, you know, brought a lot of bad press, and it painted a pretty ugly image of the so-called pro-life groups. So this is all part of the right-wing strategy to sort of repaint themselves as actually caring about people and caring about women. And that's why they have this sort of strategy and saying things like women deserve better. And I saw one of them speaking on the news saying that they do care about these women and blah, blah, blah. But we actually understand that, you know, that perhaps this is a strategy that might change, too. We don't know. We have to understand, too, that a lot of people, like I said earlier, don't, because the issue has just so been not out there in consciousness in terms of, like, you know, people not hearing a clear argument for the other side and concessions to the right and people saying, like, abortion needs to be rare and all these kind of ridiculous things, that people haven't heard a strong argument for why it's so important and really importantly, what it was like when women didn't have the right to a safe, legal abortion. You know, women actually died. Tons of women. In fact, according to the World Health Organization, 80,000 women a year die, you know, around the world when abortions are illegal, you know, from botched abortions, whether they're back alley abortionists that perform them or women who inflicted them themselves. So we see this as sort of the growth of the right wing. And this is connected, like, as you've said, to, you know, things like the war. And I would also actually say immigrant rights. The right wing is on the rise. They're on the offensive. And unfortunately, we are coming from a very weak place right now. And I think that we have to get on the offensive and we have to, like, cut against this idea that there's anything wrong with getting an abortion. And this crap pseudoscience that they put out, like, you know, these fetuses smile and hiccup. I had a woman tell me that yesterday, that the fetus hiccups, and therefore, you know, that life is just as valuable as a living, breathing woman. I think that is absolutely ridiculous. A fetus doesn't have any relationship with anybody. They've never met anybody. They haven't contributed to society. A woman actually has. She has, you know, a family and friends, and has a right to actually control what she does with her own body. This idea that a fetus could somehow live individually apart from a woman is just a sexist idea that actually relegates a woman to a carrying case for a human life that's completely detached from her. I think that we have to really cut against that idea, and we have to actually say, no, it's a woman's body, and she is the one that ultimately has to bear the burden of carrying the pregnancy to term and for all the financial costs that would inflict on her. And if, you know, and I don't actually see them doing anything about, you know, health care rights for children and women and whatnot. George Bush actually passed some law at the beginning of his career where he said that fetuses were allowed to have health care, but he did not care about the woman actually carrying that fetus. So I think that there's just a real danger in general in terms of the rise of the right, and that's why we are fighting it right now so hard, and I believe that the clinics are the front lines of that. Unfortunately, we don't have the forces, you know, to follow them around wherever they go, but we have to stand up at the clinics and say, you know, This is we're drawing a line in the sand here, and you cannot, you know, come to our clinics. That clinic in San Francisco is actually my clinic. I am a person that doesn't have health care right now, and that's where I go, and I get all of my, you know, birth control and, you know, where I get checked. And if that place didn't exist, and let's be clear, they want to shut down Planned Parenthood. If they were to do that, you know, millions of women like myself would be out in the cold.
Okay, let's discuss why we need the militancy that you're talking about, too. We talked about the right wing. That's not going to bring about anything good. One of the things that they capitalize on is talking about all the problems that women have going in and getting health care. And I have no doubt with our health care system here that organizations delivering abortion could do better if the structure was set up for them to do better, because most of healthcare is just a factory model. Anyway, but Planned Parenthood was apparently against the pro-choice people coming out, and they don't want a raucous atmosphere. They'd rather have their patients coming in without a lot of hassles. Mm. But also that last big rally you talked about, when was that, January?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people were in the faces of those that particular group that was out there really bad, co-opting civil rights legislation, and they had an African-American preacher, Childress, talking about the legacy of Martin Luther King and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But while all that was going on, it seemed like Planned Parenthood and other groups were down on Market Street just cheering useless politicians like Tom Amiano and Jake McGoldrick for continuing to help with funding for the organizations. So these organizations that are not-for-profit groups in the community are just totally locked into the Democratic Party because they have to get their funding.
Mm-hmm.
And they, this would be not just abortion, but just how the system works itself. You know, they need money. They need money from the government. If it's anything halfway liberal, it's the Democrats they're looking to. So they just want to do the abortions and not have all of this in the way, it sounds like. So talk about Planned Parenthood's stances about not wanting the pro-choice people out, what you think about that, and also what areas you might be working together with the abortion providers on.
I mean, I think Planned Parenthood's position on this, frankly, has been ridiculous. I can't imagine if we hadn't been out there yesterday. I mean, these people had a freaking Winnebago with all kinds of ridiculous, sexist, you know, anti-choice signs. And they had like a tapestry of the Virgin Mary and all of their crucifixes. And they're standing there singing and praying. And they had actually, when we got there in the morning, they had chalked up the whole sidewalk writing disgusting things, specifically, you know, to intimidate women and make them feel guilty as possible about going in there and doing whatever they thought was necessary for their particular circumstance. And I also think that it's not totally disconnected from the fact that, like you're saying, I mean, Planned Parenthood is tied to the Democratic Party. In fact, one thing that I just recently discovered, which I, you know, was floored by, is that they are actually not even taking a position on the John G. Roberts nomination. They're sort of taking a wait and see kind of attitude, and I think that that is incredibly dangerous. We cannot wait and see what happens. I mean, this guy, I believe, has every intention of overturning Roe v. Wade, and certainly George W. Bush does too. He wants. He has to make it up to those right-wing fundamentalist groups that actually helped him get elected in the first place. And he is sort of spending that capital now. And that's why he made such a bold nomination. I mean, a number of people thought he was going to nominate a woman, which I'm not saying would have been much better for abortion rights. He would have just nominated an anti-abortion woman. But the fact that he nominated this guy was really like, I mean, a show of confidence, for the right wing, and just really a slap in the face, I think, to organizations like Planned Parenthood and certainly ordinary people like myself that want to make sure that we keep this right. And I, of course, as a patient of Planned Parenthood, am concerned with women, you know, going into those clinics and feeling as comfortable as possible. Unfortunately, the reality is that the bigger picture has a right wing that is very emboldened and very well-funded and wants to actually shut those clinics down. So I am fighting today for those women to be able to walk in there, but also for women in the future to be able to continue to do that. Because I have to ask myself, if, you know, these groups that actually, like I said, have a lot of money and have friends in high places, will I be able to get birth control pills the way I have, you know, 5 years from now, or maybe even less? I mean, I think it's a fair question to be asking. And I think it's interesting that actually there's a clinic in Oakland called the Women's Choice Clinic that actually totally supports clinic defense. In fact, the executive director came and spoke at our press conference and talked about how important it was. And I think that has everything to do with the fact that they have a living experience of fighting off Operation Rescue in Oakland. They know what had to be done, how we had to mobilize in order to fight off the right wing. And so this woman actually totally supports clinic defense. And again, like I said, she's the director of a clinic. So this is a totally a Planned Parenthood thing. And I think it's totally unfortunate, and I think it's a totally wrong-headed strategy. And like I said, I think it's dangerous. Ignoring these people that come out every day only allows them to grow and build their influence, and we have to totally fight against that. I just completely disagree. I think and I also want to say that, I mean, they don't necessarily have ownership over that clinic. I mean, I think myself and another woman who spoke at the press conference who actually had an abortion at that exact Planned Parenthood, you know, we have a right to speak too about what we think the tactics should be, and we think that these are the right ones. We're not just pulling this out of the air, we're pulling it out of history.
Okay, great. Let's wrap up, but on that vein, you know, a lot of people wish the status quo could handle it, but other people know better. But on this rally, one of the things that stood out to me with the organizations represented, it was generally socialist organizations, International Socialist Organization, Radical Women, Freedom Socialist Party. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, Spartacist League was out. Mm-hmm. There were also individuals out there that might have been free agents or aligned on their own. Mm-hmm. But what the importance of the socialist organizations and an anti-capitalist approach to this, at least from your organization's perspective or from your personal perspective?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, from both perspectives, that we have a long-term vision, actually, like you were saying. I mean, we think that capitalism is actually the problem, that things like sexism, obviously racism and homophobia, actually come out of a system that's based on profit and keeping us divided. And we understand that these sort of laws placed on a woman saying that, you know, she can't determine what she does with her own body is a way of putting a divide and relegating women to second class citizenship. We know what that's about, right? We know that actually, you know, does nothing but actually strengthen the establishment and the powers that be, the ruling class of society. And we actually think that this is just one front, you know, in a much larger battle to get rid of a system that actually promotes things like I said, like sexism, racism, and homophobia. I mean, it was super clear to me. I actually talked to some of the bigots out there today or yesterday that were saying that they were for equal rights. I asked them how they felt about the right of gay people to get married, and they said that they opposed it. So I don't know how they could talk about equal rights, but we actually see, you know, this is actually a reform, right? Actually, women having the right, you know, to health care and to control their reproductive. Their reproductive lives, and we don't think that it should stop there. Actually, that's part of actually building a larger movement that actually has a sense of history and some militancy, and actually can connect it to the fact that there is a whole system that is in place that works against us, and that we actually have to fight that. That we actually have to say that we can actually build a different kind of society that isn't based on making profits, but that actually produces things for human need, right? We have enough in the world today to feed everybody and to clothe everybody and to make sure, you know, that everybody has a roof over their heads. But that's not what's happening, because that's not in the interest of a profit system. We have a system today that, you know, certainly produces enough food, but actually if it can't sell that food, it'll dump, you know, tons of grain into the ocean, not because people don't need it again, but because they're not able to sell it. And this struggle can actually, we can make connections to other struggles, which we actually did yesterday when we heard about an initiative called College Not Combat that actually the ISO, helped to launch, which was to get, recruiters out of our schools. And we started chanting, bigots out of our streets and recruiters out of our schools. So we can begin to see the connection to sort of the larger project of anti-imperialism. That's sort of a way to put these things together. And also around immigrant rights, because, there's the whole Minutemen that are patrolling the borders, on the one hand, they're trying to send people that are undocumented to fight in this war in Iraq, and then on the other hand, they're telling that they're not allowed into this country. Again, these are struggles that we can connect with the abortion rights struggle and build sort of broader movements, just like we saw happen in the 1960s. It wasn't just the anti-Vietnam War movement. There was a civil rights movement and a Black Power movement and the women's movement. So one movement can certainly influence and inspire other people to get together and realize that there is a whole system that is working against us and that the politicians in Washington, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, are not interested in helping us, that they are only moved by pressure from below. That's why we won abortion rights in 1973 under Richard Nixon, who has very much the same stance on abortion as George W. Bush does, and he had a totally conservative Supreme Court as well. So we think that change comes on the streets and with a good strategy and with people who actually have a sense of history and a sense of theory about a system that's rotten to the core.
Okay, we're talking with Leachy from, I hope I'm pronouncing your name right.
Yep.
Yeah, from the International Socialist Organization, one of the groups who was fighting the Crusade for Life in San Francisco the other day. Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you.
Okay, have a good night.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.